B-Pod Studios.
Bob Cooney, out of Brooklyn, and into the next round of the playoffs.
Oh, whoa.
And here, guess what? I'm not changing my temperament as far as the next round of the playoffs and what happens. I don't care. I'm going to enjoy it right now. They're going to get out of this first round. They're going to take care of business in game five. Sixers in five. They took care of business against the Nets. And I'm going to admit something. Maybe I was wrong. That game three in Brooklyn was going to be the game where they threw everything they had at the 76ers. And if the Sixers withstood that, they'd take the series. Now, that part I'm going to be right about. However, this was the game. It seemed like they absolutely threw everything at the 76ers, including that rat pudgy bastard, Jared Dudley, that YMCA looking son of a you know what. Taking on Joel Embiid, trying to get under his skin. Credit to JoJo for not being baited by that rat bastard. And kudos to Jimmy Butler for getting involved. And shame on the referees for buying into it when they should have known Jared Dudley was going to do that exact same thing that he did towards the end of the second quarter when he threw the old flipper, the old elbow, at Joel Embiid trying to knock him over. Excuse me, Ben Simmons trying to knock him over. Give him the old forearm shimmy. There. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, what was up with that?
But the refs have to go into halftime and look at that play, right? Like, they have to know that that play had already happened, right? Is that not a guarantee?
I think they know what happened and didn't deem it worthy of much of anything.
But when the second thing happens, you have to know that Jared Dudley's like, all right, this guy needs to get out of here. Jimmy Butler's trying to defend his teammate. And look, they won the game. Mike Scott hit a huge shot for the Sixers, all that, and it was awesome. But really, when you look at the whole thing from an outsider's perspective, you got to go, well, hold on, they have to know about incident one that they missed because the referee was trying to pick up a ball at the end of the second quarter when Jared Dudley came in and gave that elbow. And then they have to know what happened in the third quarter and make the right assessment and assign the right punishments.
Yeah, what cracks me up about all this is, does Brooklyn not understand that what they're doing only entices the Sixers to play better basketball?
Evidently not.
I mean, you know, you keep pushing a giant and you know what happens. And they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And when they do it, the Sixers respond in a way that just makes their play even better. I don't know what Brooklyn's thinking here.
I don't know either, but you know what? I love it. Because it's only playing into the Sixers' favor, as you have just pointed out. It really only makes the 76ers play at a much higher level. And when those 10-9-8-76ers get a little fire lit under them, they're not beating them.
No.
You know, because you know what Ben Simmons realizes again? He goes back to that 6'10 dominant frame that he can have, running the court, catching guys off guard in transition. His setup in the final minute to Joel Embiid when two defenders collapsed on him on the block and he had a nice little shovel pass, if you will, to Embiid who had the slam.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want to say that he disappears. People want to say he disappears late in a game like that. He helped take control of that game. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick with a huge three, Mike Scott with the game clincher, really. I mean, really, a lot of that started with Ben Simmons and the way he was playing in that game by being able to control the pace of play, even without the guy that you like having the ball in his hands at the end of a game like Jimmy Butler. It was going to be interesting to see how this was going to play out without their closer, but the new closer stepped up.
That's what I loved about this game. You had different, and you hit it perfectly, Mark, you had different guys doing things all throughout that fourth quarter. Whether it was, like you said, Mike Scott, Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons had a huge steal also there at the end, although the NBA now says that Allen was fouled.
Right.
But you know, he was the one that came up with the ball, and I love what he did. He comes up with the ball and quickly shovels it to Tobias Harris because he didn't want to get fouled and go to the foul line. But Tobias Harris stepped up big also. I thought everybody played a really good role in this win, and And it just shows you the talent that's flooding this team right now.
Certainly. And look, there's so much to cover. And as you just pointed out, the two-minute report showed that Tobias Harris fouled Jarrett Allen towards the end of that game in the final seconds, and it wasn't called. There was plenty of stuff to go around. The only gripe I have as a Sixers fan has to do with Jared Dudley. And really, it's two gripes in one. And as the show goes on today, we'll explain it further. The number one thing is, as I mentioned, the referee is apparently not knowing that he threw an elbow towards the end of the second quarter going into halftime. The referees apparently didn't know that because I think I give them enough credit that they would have made a different call at the start of the, when the melee happened in the third quarter. So I'll say that. The other part of it is what Jared Dudley had to say after the game. Because if he gets fined $25,000, which he did for going after Embiid in the game, the comments he made after the game are inexcusable. I get it within the game, heat of the battle, heat of the moment. You're gonna do things that maybe later you shouldn't have done. But in defending a teammate and thinking a teammate has been taken advantage of or fouled on purpose or a flagrant, whatever, you're gonna try to do something if you have any honor amongst yourself whatsoever. You're gonna try to do something to defend your teammate. But afterwards, when you have time to think about things, for Jared Dudley to say what he said about Joel Embiid, and we'll let you hear that a little bit later, it's absolutely 100% inexcusable. So we'll get into that. We'll also get into the Philadelphia Phillies because I believe their first road loss in the series of the season?
Yeah.
Wheels are off. The wheels are falling off! Four game set out in Colorado, and they couldn't, unfortunately, even come up with a series split. Despite a 12-inning game where it could have gone either way, it was funny. Most of the starting pitchers throughout this series for the Phils, they looked okay.
Yeah.
And that includes Vince Velasquez, who I know a lot of people are just, they have their finger on the bullpen button. And they just want to push that button as soon as humanly possible to abort the mission of him as a starting pitcher and put him in the back end of the bullpen. He actually pitched okay through 5 2/3. He struck out 8. It was that loss in 12 innings to the Rockies. Zach Eflin the day before actually pitched okay. Aaron Nola, as they say, settled in a little bit in his start, which was nice. And then a blunder of blunder yesterday. A blunder of blunders.
Made me sick.
I love Cesar Hernandez.
Really?
That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Why do you love him?
I love the guy that wanted to come up, and despite the fact that they said, hey, go play center field, you're not going to be a second baseman when he first came up, he was like, yeah, okay, no problem. And he goes out and he plays a second baseman going to play center field. All right? I think the guy has gotten on base well. I think he's done everything the franchise has asked of him. I rarely ever criticize him. I wanted Scott Kingery to take over the starting position at second base from the get-go. But look, that hasn't happened, and that's not because I don't like Cesar Hernandez. That's just because I think Scott Kingery has a better future, and I want him to start as humanly possible. But it's no fault of Cesar Hernandez. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever seen yesterday. Everything went to don't step off the bag. Ball dropped, umpire right in front of you, signals safe, and he just drops, fee-fi-fo-fums it to third base like he was out.
He odubled it. The ball was right in front of him, too. Where it was missed, it rolled right out in front of him where it's plain in his sight. I don't know what he was thinking there.
All right, so we'll, of course, continue to talk Phillies today. Big series against the Mets. For as big as it can be, of course, on April 22nd.
Huge.
But we'll get into that. We had some fun in football. Oh, my goodness. It's draft week, everybody. We are going to talk NFL draft, despite not having our boy Trey Thomas with us, who is enjoying a fine vacation, a well-deserved vacation after driving down to Florida. Do we know if he made it there safe?
I think he did. So,
was he posting in Slack? I believe he was posting in our file share.
He was on the golf course, I know, on Saturday, wasn't he, James?
He was.
That wasn't him wrestling the alligator, folks. That just so everybody knows. Have you seen this, Jamie? The alligator on the golf course?
Yeah.
Would you do it?
No. Nah.
You wouldn't do it?
No. Nah.
I'd do it.
I'm good.
I'd do it. I'm a man. I would do it in a heartbeat.
I'm a man.
I would.
I'm 40.
And I told you how you got to remove an alligator, right? From the anywhere? You grab it by the tail and you drag it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Real easy.
Yeah. Don't be a pansy. Come on now. But so Trey's not in today, unfortunately, but we will be talking some draft stuff today. Can we do away with the downbeat chant whatever happens, whatever Roger Goodell says with the first pick in the 2019 NFL draft. Or no, it's after the Philadelphia Eagles select. Whatever that is, can we knock that the hell off?
Well, it's going to be a very drunk crowd this year in Nashville, I would imagine, at the NFL draft.
That is dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little afraid of Nashville. Like, Dallas, you knew they weren't going to beat us. Nashville, they could give us a
run. Yeah, they know how to drink.
Because here's the thing. If they drink and something happens, like, Nashville. But if we do it, it's like, well, that's Philadelphia.
You ate poop at the Super Bowl parade.
You tell me another city that'll eat poop in celebration. That's what I thought.
Good point.
Yeah, thank you very much. We are passionate people. Donovan McNabb. Here's the question, by the way. And this is not going to be the main thing of the day. Don't worry, folks. This is going to be a little side topic. Because I am blown away by Donovan McNabb in a way. I'm blown away because it's hard to think of any other city, any other fan base, and any other successful athlete in a city. Has there ever been, this is what blows me away, Bob, has there ever been a bigger disconnect between an athlete that has had success in a city like Donovan McNabb and a fan base like Philadelphia? Has there ever, when you think of athletes like Donovan, you would think of a guy that would be loved. Like, when I talk to people from outside the market, they're always like, whenever Donovan comes up, why do you guys hate Donovan? And it's like, it's not that we hate him. And there's one thing I'll disagree with Lane Johnson's tweet. The word respect. I think the city of Philadelphia respects Donovan McNabb, but he's not loved.
Yeah, like, they're annoyed by him.
He's that uncle that comes over that makes the same stupid corny jokes every time he comes over. Like, if you had an uncle over for Easter or a family member, whoever it might be, I mean, that's Donovan. But there's a couple of points to dissect throughout this conversation with Donovan McNabb, saying that more or less if Carson Wentz can't get out of the second round of the playoffs in the next few seasons, they should start looking elsewhere for a quarterback of the future. Not the worst thing you could ever say about somebody, but imagine if somebody said that about Donovan while Donovan was here.
Oh, man.
What would Donovan say about it? Better yet, what would Wilma say about it? I mean, in all seriousness, what would Wilma say about the whole thing? So we'll go throughout that. Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson in the news. There is an internet sensation going around right now. We'll get into that. And right now we got Mike and Del Ram. We got wide open lines after that. But here, listen to this. Jamie, I want this to be the Twitter poll today, brought to you by the fine people of Window Nation. And it's very simple. What was your reaction? Which of these best describe your reaction to McNabb's comments about Carson Wentz? Anger or eye roll? Bob Cooney, anger or eye roll?
Eye roll.
Eye roll for me as well. Jamie Lynch?
Eye roll.
Eye roll! I'm trying to prove a point here.
Not Jay roll, eye roll.
Eye roll. I'm trying to prove a point here. Donovan McNabb's comments have gotten to a point, I believe, with Philadelphia sports fans of, oh, God, Donovan? Like, what?
Yes.
Stop.
Shut your mouth.
We're going to need that drop. We're going to need that drop. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll let you hear from the 76ers. According the great calls from Tom McGinnis. We'll let you hear some of the great calls, including the Mike Scott three-pointer that sealed the deal for those 10-9-8 76ers. Time of the Fanatic 614. Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Trey Thomas with the, he's off till Thursday, or Friday, I should say, because he's back in Friday to make sure he breaks down all the fine stuff with the NFL draft and all that stuff going on. We'll get Trey's take on his former teammate, Donovan McNabb's take on Carson Wentz. We'll get into that. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to give you most likely the highlight of the weekend for you. The real deal, Mike Scott, giving the 76ers a fine 2-point lead in the fourth quarter in the waning seconds against the Brooklyn Nets. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tom McGinnis with the call.
Mike Scott along the near sideline, runs out top. Harris cutting to the ball. He goes into Tobias Harris. Harris pulls up, lobs it into Joel. Embiid dropped it to the corner. Mike Scott for the lead. It's up and good. Mike Scott reigns in the corner three, and the Sixers go up by two.
That's all they really needed from that point out. They took care of business on the defensive end. It was an interesting play with the Brooklyn Nets, how they responded. Well, first, the play by Embiid. You thought he lost the ball out of bounds. And then he just had enough of a touch pass to Mike Scott in the corner for that three.
Yeah, I thought it was a great play that they ran. It was wide open there. I mean, off of his left shoulder, it was wide open. He held off the defender perfectly. It was a little bit of a lazy pass by Tobias Harris, and it allowed Joe Harris to come down the lane and kind of just, you know, jump in the way. But for Embiid to have that presence, you know, after he's missed games, when his timing's off, he probably would have caught that ball had he not missed so much time lately. But yeah, to have the presence to just knock it out to Mike Scott, and good for Mike Scott, he just kept following the flow of the play. He started up high, which Tom McGinnis said at the beginning, and then just kind of drifted down to the corner, and it was a great find and a great shot.
It was interesting. D'Angelo Russell had four fouls for the longest time in that game, and the Sixers really weren't able to get him.
Yeah,
the other ones there, but D'Angelo Russell came back in the game with under 20 seconds left after Mike Scott hit that three to go up those 2 points, right? And then you have Jared Allen actually lose the ball in that turnover, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it, depending on what side you're rooting for there. Joe Harris ends up taking the personal foul, but it looked like the Nets were gonna attempt a three. It looked like they were going to try to win. So Russell comes back into the game. He had been just gunning it from three pretty much the entire game. And looked like they were going to go for the three. They couldn't get open. That's when they fed the ball down low to Jared Allen, and he couldn't get the 2 points. So then in return, the Sixers foul Tobias Harris, and he makes both free throws and the 76ers, three free throws, and the 76ers are able to get the four-point victory, 112 to 108. But it was just crazy how it all played out. But the moment that a lot of people are going to be talking about because of the fines and because the Sixers won, I mean, really, that's why, okay, so you can put that in the back burner. They got one more win to go before they advance to the second round of the playoffs and most likely take on the Toronto Raptors, whose coach went viral yesterday on social media. But the big thing that a lot of people will be really discussing is the back and forth between Jared Dudley, Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, and Ben Simmons. All those names get mentioned here by Tom McGinnis as for what happened in the third quarter. Here's Tom McGinnis' call right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
In the lane, LeVert blocked by Embiid with a foul, and down goes Jared Allen. Oh, man, here comes Dudley, and Jimmy Butler shoves Jared Dudley. It's Dudley being knocked out of bounds by Simmons. We got a scrum here in Brooklyn as the Sixers security surrounds Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid and Jared Dudley join to one another. Monty Williams and Brett Brown coming over to Embiid. And the crowd here in Brooklyn. Jared Dudley, though, stirring the pot here in the borough.
And you know what? He did stir the pot. He did make people upset. He did make people angry.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? I was interested to see how it was going to affect Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid the rest of the way after Jimmy Butler got in. And I love Jimmy Butler getting involved in that.
Yeah.
Stepping up for his teammates. You know why? Because he's an incredible human being.
Yes, he is. And he said after the game, if it happened again, I'd do it again.
I think that I'm an incredible human being.
You are Jimmy Butler, and you haven't shown me anything to decide. You haven't shown me any other way to believe you or any reason not to believe you and all that. Mike Delran, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Yo, Mike.
Yo, what's up, guys? I hope everybody had a good Easter.
Yes, sir.
Hey, so before I talk about the Sixers, I have to comment about Donovan, man. So let's agree with him. By his logic, let's say if he doesn't make it past the second round, we need to look for another quarterback. But with that same logic, if he makes it past the second round, loses three straight NFC Championship games, loses the Super Bowl, and throws up on us up at the huddle. And then after he gets traded and leaves and everything he ever says about his city is disparaging and turns into a national broadcaster that we all hate because they look from the outside, you know, outside in like they know this place, then maybe we should love him too, right? Because Donovan McNabb's a loser. He's always going to be a loser. And you know what? He's embarrassing. He's embarrassing to associate with our city, and I just can't stand that guy.
My knock on Donovan, just on the football field, was that he was always a guy that he didn't hate to lose. That was the vibe I always got from Donovan. You always want your guys to have that hate of losing. Like, when you hear a guy like Brett Favre talk about the two Super Bowls that he played in, he talks about the one that he lost as one that sticks with him more than the one he won because it puts such a bad taste. It's like you have to hate losing more than you love winning.
Right, that's a good line.
And I just always felt Donovan was the guy that if he won, okay, great. But losing, that didn't really ever put that bad taste in his mouth. And so many people have told me that when he was down in Jacksonville for the Super Bowl, it wasn't like he was laser-focused on winning that Super Bowl. He was more laser-focused on the party that the Super Bowl was.
Bryce Harper is more Philadelphia in 30 days than Donovan Knapp ever could have been 11 years. Real quick.
Yeah.
Jimmy Butler had to get thrown out of that game. I love what he did, but when he interjected himself into that, right, you can't have another mouse to power. So I understand, right, he's got to get, but I love it. I want him to do it every time.
Right.
And Joel Embiid will go down as the most loved player in the city right next to Brian Dawkins when his career is over, because that dude is hilarious. To reference Golden State's 3-1 collapse, to call Jared Dudley a nobody, to watch him laugh. Listen, if I'm Toronto, I'm watching the way they've been playing the last couple games, and I'm watching their swagger, I'm getting a little nervous.
All right, man.
See you guys.
All right, Mike, take it easy, buddy. You know, when Joel did say that, when he referenced the blowing the 3-1 lead, I was like, this guy just had dinner with Steph Curry. Like a month ago.
Yeah.
Like, he was just on Steph Curry's show. And I remember we talked about Mrs. Curry doing the little
Aisha.
Aisha, thank you. I always forget her name. I always.
Isn't there a song, Aisha, when we were growing up?
Who sings it?
Was it Arrested Development?
Well, whoever it was, let them.
Oh, good dad.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, Jamie, I think you're the songbird of your generation.
Yeah. Fergie and Jesus. A lot of people tell me that.
Right, yesterday was Easter. The Holy Spirit upon you. Anyway, but when he said that, I was like, this guy just had dinner with Steph Curry like a month ago.
Under Armour brand ambassadors together.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh,
and
man.
And did you see Jimmy Butler got up and left?
Yes,
he just stood up and was like, oh, my God.
He's like, no, I'm not being associated here. Yeah.
He's like, oh, Jimmy, come on. What are you talking about? Well, Jimmy Butler, Jamie, I want to get to these here because 7 and 8. Jimmy Butler was phenomenal during the press conference portion of the evening, if you will. Yeah. I mean, it was a 3 o'clock tip off, whatever. So Jimmy Butler, who got thrown out of the game, is at the post game press conference sitting next to Joel Embiid. And the two of them are just kind of chopping it up a little bit. And then they get asked, Jimmy Butler gets asked basically, what are you doing here? Like, you got thrown out of the game. Why are you participating in the post-game press conference? And Jimmy Butler responded with this.
He don't do nothing stupid when he up here. We all know he's a trolling son of a gun. So I'm just here to protect my big fella.
How do you plan on doing that?
If somebody run up on him, I'm going to push him again.
And I'm here to fall. Get off my back.
Joel Embiid will pay the fine for Jimmy Butler the next time Jimmy Butler takes up arms in favor of Joel Embiid.
He should pay this one. He should be 15 grand lighter on this one.
He absolutely should. No doubt about it. Now, for Butler to respond like that, I know that there was a lot said about Jimmy Butler when he first came to Philadelphia, and people were a little cautious. I was extremely cautious. He's been great. I know a lot of people wanted to jump on the story that took place in Portland, I believe it was, with the film section.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Brett Brown came on with us, and he goes, no, that I started that fight. And I give Brett a lot of credit for that. But people were so ready to pounce on that storyline of Jimmy Butler being that locker room poison again. But since he's been here, he's been nothing but a model teammate. And that's a perfect example of it. There's no better example, Bob, than that example right there.
Yeah, and you can just see it on the sidelines, whether it's a TJ McConnell, whoever it may be, when something like this happens with Joel Embiid, him pulling aside some younger players and talking to them during a game, him tapping Brett Brown during a game and suggesting something, and Brett shaking his head, yeah, and then slapping hands with each other. The fact that Brett said in the huddle, he's telling them different things that they want to do. He's been nothing but great for this team so far. And I got nervous at the beginning if he could find his way on the court with these guys. I think he's not only found his way on the court, but off the court too. And I'm a big advocate for bringing him back.
All right, man. I'm with you right there. Philly J is joining us right now from DC. Philly J, real quick. I know you want to talk McNabb. How great was that Sixers win?
Oh yeah, it was a great win. I was at work, so I didn't really see the game.
Oh, my man.
Yeah, you know, I got priorities.
right.
Yeah, but it was a great win. I'm just waiting to see the Sixers Toronto series, how that's going to play itself out. But I wanted to talk about this McNabb thing. First of all, I honestly think the disconnect started when he was drafted, to be honest with you. And you heard all the like boos and stuff like that. I think he held a grudge, you know, since then. Me with the whole does he get Philadelphia, I never really cared about that. I'm only concerned if players like perform. You know what I'm saying? Why they with, you know what I'm saying, the Eagles or the Sixers. I'm not a Flyers or a Phillies fan.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying, I'm only concerned with that because Freddie Mitchell you know, he kind of has that Philly attitude, and he was straight garbage. So,
well, you know what's funny about that is that Lane
Johnson.
Yeah,
Freddie Mitchell. Yeah, Freddie Mitchell. Okay, yeah, I saw it. The tweet.
Yeah, Freddie Mitchell said the guy ruined my career, basically.
Yeah. This guy who couldn't get off the line of scrimmage and Jay, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In a jam and Jay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
But my thing is, I disagree with McNabb as far as they should get rid of Carson Wentz after 3 years, but we all know y'all took calls. There was like 50-50, you know, Foles is the man of the future. You even had people calling up saying trade Wentz, and y'all guys took those calls. I listened to y'all and y'all rival stations.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, y'all even had people saying Doug Peterson wasn't the guy. Fire him and hire John D. Filippo.
Yeah, I was never that guy. Yeah, I'll say I was never that guy.
I just find it kind of a little bit funny that you look on social media now, and because of what McNabb said, everybody is like all up in arms when, you know, virtually half the fan base wasn't even in support of Carson.
It wasn't. I don't think it was, you know, half. Look, just because you heard a loud minority doesn't mean it was the majority or even split. Now, we'll go back because I remember asking that dumb question for the sole purpose of this conversation, not necessarily with you, Philly J, but I'm saying for the sole purpose of conversations like this, when people wanted to throw it in our face that the Eagles were going to make a bad decision in taking Carson Wentz and keeping Carson Wentz over Nick Foles. So we'll go back. We'll backtrack. Yes, you are right. We took those calls because people call up here with ideas and whatever, and that's what we do as a talk radio station. But as far as really entertaining that, I don't know, opinion, that's not something we really did here.
Yeah, y'all wasn't down with it, but you know what I'm saying? There was a lot of people calling. Now, this brings up a question.
Go ahead.
Are fans a little bit too sensitive nowadays? Because
no.
Because Troy Aikman, he rips the Cowboys a new one, and I've seen him get a lot of hate. Joe Montana got hate 5 years ago from 49er fans for critiquing Colin Kaepernick, and he's the guy who won Super Bowls.
Yeah, he can do that.
But 49er fans wasn't happy he did that. He was on the Dan Patrick show, and Dan Patrick asked him a question about Colin Kaepernick, and he was so reluctant to even speak on it, saying, as far as I got in trouble for it last time, so I don't even want to get into it. So, I mean, do you think former players should be a little bit more homerism, or do you think they should be a little bit more critical? I heard Boomer Esiason say he's gotten a ton of heat from Bengals fans.
Right.
Charles Barkley is not a stranger to call the Sixers. Remember, he called the Sixers a dumb organization.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Handle things. Yeah. So, do y'all guys think? Are y'all? Do you think?
Do we want homerism? I think Philly Giant, thanks for the call. I think you asked a good question. Do we want our ex-athletes to be bigger homers for us?
No, I don't mind them expressing their opinion. They're going to come out. You're going to have an opinion of them after they express theirs. Mm-hmm. But Philly J had, like, he doesn't, one of the things that he said that McNabb came out and said, oh, they have to get rid of him in 3 years. That's not what he said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is part of the problem where we go is that, so McNabb basically said if he doesn't get out of the second round in the next 2 years, then you have to think about drafting a quarterback. It didn't say you have to get rid of Carson Wentz. I think it was more like, well, maybe you need to look to draft a good backup because the way I read it, because his health is questionable. It wasn't like get rid of Carson Wentz in 2 years if he doesn't get you past the second round.
Yeah, I mostly agreed with what he said.
So yeah, I mean, I just thought it was no BS, like, you know, that's the kind of his statement had the kind of response. Oh, really? No bleep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, like, no kidding.
But the deliverer of the message is why it's perceived the way it is.
Absolutely.
Now, if McNabb would have said that about like Jalen Mills,
yeah,
right,
no problem.
Okay, he's talking about a quarterback. He's talking about the guy who's played his position. I think we do want homerism.
I think the majority of people do.
Like, shut your mouth unless you have something nice to say. Like,
yeah.
I think that is the biggest thing here. Now, Joe Montana, if that was our guy and he's saying that about Carson Wentz, my opinion would be like, oh, that's Joe Montana. Okay, you say that's Joe Montana.
Yeah, Super Bowl winner. Yeah,
exactly.
Four rings?
Four, I think. But you're going with a guy like that versus a guy like Donovan McNabb, who tried really hard and ultimately failed.
Yeah, and he was good overall.
Five conference championships is pretty damn good.
Five conference championship games,
is pretty good, but only winning one of them is pretty bad.
And having thin skin and us knowing all of that and seeing the comments, it's taken the way it is.
You know how they say you never get a second chance to make a first impression?
Yeah.
Ergo Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
On both sides of it, right? You know, from booing and all that stuff to the end of his career here in Philadelphia. He played 11 years here in Philadelphia. He's the passing leader, touchdowns, yards, actually interception leader as well as in terms of interception percentage for anyone that had at least 1,500 attempts here.
Yeah.
Had the best interception ratio of anybody that played here, minimum 1,500 attempts.
Well, the Donovan haters will tell you that's because he didn't force anything to protect those numbers. I'm not saying that.
And that was literally my next sentence. I say that every single time. Never threw it a double coverage. Yeah. Never wanted to take a chance.
He didn't, though. He definitely protected his stats. We'll say that.
Certainly. I protected the football. I would say no. Yeah. I'd say you were timid. But we'll get into that as the show goes on.
I would say no.
As the show goes on today. Coming up, a very happy story, ladies and gentlemen, happened over the weekend. And it has to do with one of our own. We'll get into that in a few. We got Eric in Whitehall. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. Very happy story when it comes to the Phillies. You know what else is a happy story? Anytime I get to tell you a story about Steven Singer Jewelers. I got my wedding rings there. You got to go there. You need some jewelry. Steven Singer is the way to go. And what do you think when I say minty fresh? Mint leaf. Freshly minted. Mint julep. After dinner mint. Maybe. A little peppermint, even. Do you know mint is the symbol for warm feelings and precious moments? Who do you think of when you hear warm feelings and precious moments? Sounds a lot like mom, right? Well, Steven Singer knows the most important holiday of the year is Mother's Day, and make it a Mother's Day to remember with his new exclusive premium 24-karat gold dip rose color. That's right. Have you guessed it yet? It's mint. It's a mint green color that mom's guaranteed to love. You can order the brand new mint green rose exclusively at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven's exclusive colors always go fast, so guarantee to make this Mother's Day special with a brand new, newly minted mint green rose by ordering today from Steven Singer Jewelers at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven's famous 24-karat gold dip roses start at just $59 and are shipped for free with a lifetime guarantee. Wishing you had an easy way to tell the moms in your life how much you love them? Well, visit Steven Singer Jewelers at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right in Philadelphia, or online at IHateStevenSinger.com.
You gotta open your heart.
Hungry dogs run faster.
I love my little dudes. They're my little guys. I love them.
I thought it was just the little dudes guy. Welcome back, everybody. Farzetti.
I love you.
Is he saying I love you or I live here?
I live here.
I live here. That's the Charlotte incident. That was a little shocking. I didn't know AI lived in Charlotte.
I think once he saw that replayed, it was shocking to him, too.
Oh, that's right. I live here.
I thought we were in Atlanta.
coming up, beautiful story about hometown boy done good. Eric Whitehall wants to talk about the Sixers Nets. What's up there, Eric?
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, bud.
Hey, I want to see about some. Is it possible that flagrant on Embiid would be rescinded? And also, I didn't know some of the information. Apparently, I had heard that the Nets coach entered the official's locker room.
The GM.
Yes, I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, and that's stupid.
It's such a no-no, too. I said it earlier. It's like trying to penetrate the Pentagon. Like, you don't go into the coach's locker room after a game.
I don't know. I don't know how it works at the ref's locker room in the NBA, but I've been outside the ref's locker room in the NFL a number of times, and there is a huge sign on the door that basically says no.
Like, yeah.
No, you're not coming in here. Absolutely. It says, I believe it actually says, absolutely, positively, no visitors outside the ref's locker room. Yeah, he's getting fined for that as well, and he's getting a one-game suspension. Which I don't know how a GM gets suspended.
What, do you take a cell phone and keep him out of the arena?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Yeah. What about the flagrant Embiid? Is that possible to be rescinded? Because I don't think that was a flagrant, but
I don't know if they can rescind it because I think they went up to Secaucus on the. That's how they came up with the call, was on the replay.
Yeah.
As Jamie pointed out in the 5 o'clock hour. He didn't think, and I don't think, they called a flagrant foul immediately.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, but I wasn't sure. I was just trying to sort through the facts and figured you guys would have them.
Yeah, the bad part of it is, so since he got a flagrant one in game, what was it, game two? And a flagrant one yesterday, so that equals 2 points. If he gets a flagrant two now, which takes you to 4 points, it's a one-game suspension. If he does anything to get 4 points as far as flagrant fouls go, it's a suspension.
Now, that could be, he could be targeted, if you will, by the other teams or player to try to bait him in. So that could be a problem, unfortunately, I think.
Yeah. Now, does it, thanks for the call there, Eric. Does it carry over the next series?
I think it does. I think it's playoffs.
Yeah. So Jared Dudley could do a huge favor to the rest of the Eastern Conference.
If you get four flagrant points in the playoffs, it's a one-game suspension. And he's at two already.
Okay, so if the Sixers know what they're doing here, they'll make sure it's part of the load management. They'll just make sure. Hey, by the way, just take one right here and just get it out of the way. Now, is it every flagrant since after that? Is it a one-game suspension?
That's a good question. I would assume
so. Or does it reset?
No, I would assume it would be.
See, here's the big problem I have.
And well, the one was flagrant, but Saturday was not.
Absolutely. And look, Joel got away with one of them earlier in the series, too, and he basically did shove Jared Dudley in, what, game one for no reason? Under the basket a couple of minutes into the game? There was a little push from Joel Embiid there. But my issue comes with this. If you're able to replay the entire thing, shoot, not even replay, review the entire possession, right? Then how come you couldn't review a play before halftime with Jared Dudley running over to give a little elbow to Ben Simmons earlier in the game?
It was a shoulder first and then an elbow, right? Yeah, he like ducked his head, he threw his elbow into his shoulder into his stomach, and then his elbow,
and then flexed and screamed in his face.
He did.
He was clearly instigating from like the get go.
And then in the third quarter, when the melee happened, he runs into the play. He had nothing to do with the play, and he runs into it, shoves Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler comes in, Ben Simmons, and that whole thing.
But D'Angelo Russell might have been one of the worst instigators of it. He's the one that pushed Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons off their feet because he was pushing Ed Malloy and the refs into the stands.
And into John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia.
Yeah.
By the way, see John tweets, blocker charge, and somebody responded, flop. But I don't understand how the NBA can review that whole thing and not take into account what happened before halftime, knowing that Jared Dudley was out there to do no good.
Yeah,
he was out there to be a pest.
He'll be on a short leash in game five, obviously.
First off, he threw the elbow before halftime. Then after halftime in the third quarter, he shoved Joel Embiid. Then after the game, he talked about how the next time he wished he did a little bit more. Like, how do you not suspend him for that? How do you not take action against him other than throwing out of that game? And by the way, the Nets get the much better trade off in that scenario where they lose Jared Dudley and the Sixers lose their best closer in Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather have Jared Dudley on the floor if I'm the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not kidding you. The way he plays, he does nothing that hurts the 76ers. I don't mind him being on the floor. So the Sixers lost out both ways.
Well, see, here's where I do mind him on the floor. Who else is going to light that fire? Who else is going to actually try to take somebody else out of the game because of the technical foul, flagrant fouls like this?
Yeah, I think the Sixers have handled it perfectly. They're laughing it off. They're putting their arms in the air. Joel Embiid stood there with his arms in the air the whole time. Jimmy Butler came to his defense as many of us would. I mean, I think they're coming out looking great in this, laughing it off, whatever. Great except to everyone but the New Jersey Nets. But as far as officials go, as far as the league goes, you can't punish the Sixers anymore. If anything, I think we're going to see like maybe a little tilt towards the Sixers' way when it comes to calls on Tuesday night.
I would hope so. I hope so, because you know that the 2-minute report already came out. You had talked about it already. Tobias Harris and Jared Allen. Tobias Harris got the ball. I think it was Ben Simmons that did the stealing.
I'm stunned.
What?
That they didn't call that.
I was a little surprised.
Stunned.
I will say this. Late in the fourth quarter, it seemed like they were letting him play.
Yeah.
It seemed like they weren't exactly... It seemed like they were letting him play. I'll just say that.
I just was watching that going, they're going to call it. They're going to call it. They're going to call it. Oh, my God. They didn't call it.
They didn't call it. They didn't call it. The Nets have a huge gripe with that. Like I said, their GM, Sean Marks, was fined for going into the locker room of the officials after the game. He also had a huge issue with Joel Embiid's flagrant one. Should have been flagrant twos in this situation in both game two and game four. And Joel Embiid was right. He got all ball. On the block on Jared Allen, that was a good block. And Jared Dudley took exception to it, and that's when the whole melee happened in the third quarter.
Yeah, I didn't mind the foul being called, and then subsequently, I mean, I'd have to look at it over and over and over again, but okay, he kind of made a long windmill, you know, with his hand to block the ball, but as Joel said, you know, he went after the ball and he hit the ball, so therefore, it shouldn't be a flagrant one. Mm-hmm. The more I look at it, probably it shouldn't have been. I didn't mind the call at the time. I thought the ejections were a little premature.
I thought the Jared Dudley ejection was perfect, and I thought the Jimmy Butler ejection was BS.
Yeah, I'll go there with you. Yeah, because the whole thing was set off by Jared Dudley. I mean, yes. Nothing happens there if Jared Dudley doesn't come down and shove Embiid from behind. You know, tough guys from behind, yes. Shove, you know. And then John and John and John. He just has a punch the face. He really does. Like, I hate saying that, but he does.
No, you're 100% right. But, you know, we'll get back to that in a second, because I do. There's a feel-good story out there, Bob.
There is?
There's a feel-good story.
We need more of them.
And no, it wasn't what happened with Arya last night in Game of Thrones, ladies and gentlemen. But
I didn't watch.
Spoiler alert.
You didn't watch.
I didn't. And it's been a tough morning for me. I'm like Neo in the Matrix, dodging spoilers online.
No. I'm not spoiling anything.
I'm just saying.
Is it a spoiler to say something happened with Arya?
No.
Something happened with Arya. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine. It's more a me problem. I messed up. I'm not happy with my decisions. I've got to do a better job.
With modern television viewing, the way it is today, with the DVRs going wild and all that stuff, I am cautious of that, and I am respectful. And I'm not going to give away anything that happened.